Today on The Journey.
You're trying to figure out why you are so dissatisfied with this temporary life and all the stuff you can get to try to fill it up. Only an empty tomb can fill the empty heart.
It stirs from deep in the empty spaces of the human heart, the rumor that there is more than this life, more than just us, more than we can ever imagine. It whispers of eternal joy and everlasting love. Today, Ron Moore confirms that rumor from a trustworthy source. Open your heart and be filled. Also, to help stoke your spiritual fire, we want to send you a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more details later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Igniting an Empty Heart on the Journey.
An empty heart. How in the world does God fill an empty heart? How in the world does a person deal with an empty heart? I don't know about you, but when I talk to people, young or old, it seems that that question comes about over and over and over again. It's a question that at base deals with purpose, and it deals with meaning, and it deals with direction in life. And so people are asking, where am I headed? And why am I headed there? And what am I going to find when I arrive? People want a life that makes sense now and a life that leaves an impact. You know, maybe the answer is accomplishment or achievement. I was fascinated to read about an amazing young woman, Vicki Van Meter, 26 years old. When she was 10 years old, she started taking flying lessons. And when she was 11 years old, she flew her single-engine Cessna from Maine to California. She had an instructor with her, but she did all the work. An amazing young woman. On her way back from that trip, she accepted an invitation to visit the Johnson Space Center in Houston. And get this, on her second attempt, she successfully landed the space shuttle simulator. She earned a degree in criminal justice at Edinburgh University. Everything going for her. Phenomenally gifted. Just last week, she ended her life at the age of 26. All of us know deep down inside that at best, our next purchase or next victory or next encounter brings only momentary pleasure, so short-lived we have to go back for more, and sooner or later, all the temporary fixes cause our castles to come crashing down. So you can have it all and still have an empty heart. So we've been involved in this series of sermons we've titled Ignite. And our prayer during this series is that God would ignite the heart of every believer with a burning passion to follow hard after Christ. And we wanted to find a man to help us through this series. So we found a man in the Old Testament, King David, and we've been following him through this series. And we chose King David for two reasons. Number one, he was a man whose heart beat after God. God himself said, David is a man after my own heart. And we also chose David because he's a real person going through real stuff, real failures. He goes through disappointments. He goes through challenges. He sins terribly. And we wanted to see what a guy like that did to follow God, because that's where we live and that's who we are. I want to look at a portion of the first sermon preached after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. It's a sermon preached by the Apostle Peter, and to make his point, Peter quotes this man we've been following, King David. So if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22. Peter's addressing the crowd, and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set standard and purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep hold on him. Look at verse 25. David said this about him. David said this about Jesus. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Now, this passage that Peter quotes here is from Psalm 16. And we don't know everything that was going on in David's life when he wrote Psalm 16. But we know that he was in a dangerous situation. He was in a difficult time. He was running on empty. And in this psalm, David says, God, it is you and you only that I take refuge. You are my only place of safety. He says, because of the Lord, I will say, without God, I have no good thing. And he makes the point that when we spend our life running after all this stuff that the world has to offer, our sorrows increase. And then, in his prayer, David gets to the point. Look again at verse 25. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now here, David, in the Old Testament, speaks of a personal relationship with the living God. And I want you to note that this is an experiential relationship. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just about knowing that Jesus lived. It's not just about knowing that he went to a cross. It's not just about celebrating Easter. David had this experience with the living God. He felt God with him. He said, he is always before me. He is always with me. He never abandons me. I can count on him being with me at all times. He will never leave me. Look at the rest of verse 25. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Life can bring what it will. Circumstances can come. Challenges can come. Danger can come. Illness can come. Job loss can come. Whatever life brings me, when God is with me, when he's before me, I will not be shaken. Don't you want that to be your testimony? Don't you want that to be your proclamation? I will not be shaken. Look at verse 28. David says, you have made known to me the paths of life. You're the one who gives me direction. You're the one who puts meaning in my life. You're the one who brings satisfaction. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. You're the one who fills the empty heart. You're the one who brings meaning and satisfaction to that deepest need in my heart. Now, look at verse 26. Therefore, David says, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave. Do you hear what David is saying? He's saying, my heart is full. I can feel your presence. I can feel your satisfaction within me, because I know this, that this life is temporary, but there's an eternity. It's not just 70 or 80 years, over and out. Thanks for playing. There is life beyond the grave. And David says, I know that for certain. And here's how I know that for certain. Look at the rest of verse 27. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. 1,100 years before Christ came, David spoke about the determining, the defining truth of the Christian life, the resurrection of Jesus. You will not let your Holy One see decay. By King David in the Old Testament. Now listen to how Peter explains Psalm 16. Look at verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. David died. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. David, in the Old Testament, was speaking of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, Peter says, and we are all witnesses of the fact. You see, God ignites the empty heart with a certainty of the empty grave. You want your heart filled? You want to quit living with this emptiness inside? God ignites, or He will ignite, your empty heart. In David's words, his heart was filled with joy when he realizes that Jesus did not stay in the grave. His Holy One would not see decay. Jesus was not in the grave. He was resurrected. And because Jesus was resurrected, when we follow hard after Him with a burning passion, we will not only follow Him through this life, we will follow Him through death and to resurrection itself. There is life beyond the grave. And that's what fills the empty heart. You see, whether you're an Old Testament saint or whether you're Apostle Peter or whether you're living in the early church or whether you're with us today in the 21st century, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the event that fills the empty heart. God ignites the empty heart with the certainty of the empty grave. Now, why is that? Why is that so critical to what we believe? Let's think about that for a second. When God created man and woman, when He put humans on earth, He placed them in a beautiful garden, and He gave them everything they could possibly want, everything they could want, everything they would ever need. And He had with them in the Garden of Eden uninterrupted communion. He could speak with them as we are speaking here. He would walk with them as we would walk about after this service. Can you imagine such uninterrupted relationship with the living God? God didn't want man and woman to be robots, so He said, I want to give you a choice. You have everything you want. You have everything you need. But here's one choice you're going to have to make. There's a tree in the middle of the garden, and of its fruit you can't eat, because when you eat it, here's the deal, you got to know before you do it, if you eat it, you're going to die. And Adam and Eve failed that one assignment that they had, and death entered the human race. And from Genesis chapter 3 on, life is not the way it's supposed to be. Sin has entered this world, and we are living in the consequences of sin. All of us will die. But I want you to hear this. We often think of Genesis 3 and the fall and the consequences of sin. But here's the one thing we're missing. Remember in Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve had a perfect communion with God. They loved that. They had that. God placed eternity in their heart, Scripture says. Just like He places eternity in our hearts. And we're not only living with the consequences of sin, we're living with this missing ingredient of communion with God. That's what makes our heart empty. That's what we desire. That's what we want. We can't have it on our own. Try as we might, we cannot work our way to God. So God came to man. Jesus Christ came. Promised in the Old Testament through King David and many others. Jesus came and He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He died on a cross for your sins and my sin. And not only did He die for our sins, not only was He buried as proof of His death, but He rose again from the grave. And if we follow Him and if we trust in Him, it's the only way to have a relationship with God. Our empty heart can be filled not only during this life, but throughout eternity. Jesus is the one who forgives us. However terrible your sin, He said, you are worthy of my sacrifice. It's only through Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, dying on a cross, that we can have our empty heart filled with Him. Now, had He stayed in the grave, then we have absolutely nothing to celebrate. Without the resurrection, that defining truth of our faith, we are, as Paul says, among all men most to be pitied. Our faith is futile. I was reading this book called The Faith by Charles Colson. Tremendous book. You need to read it. About the tenets of the Christian faith. And in this book, he's talking about the resurrection and the resurrection being the defining truth, the defining fact, the defining moment of Christianity. And listen to what he says. Doubts continue to be raised, even in the church, about the resurrection. Some years ago, the Anglican Bishop of Durham, David Jenkins, publicly announced that he did not believe in the physical resurrection, that it was merely a, quote-unquote, conjuring trick with bones. I was in Sri Lanka, Colson says, shortly before his widely publicized statement and was told by an Anglican priest that the Buddhists and Sinhalese and Muslims were using that statement to lure believers away from Christianity. And then Colson says this, of course they would. Without the resurrection, Jesus is no different than any other prophet or Buddha. That is why the central attack on Christianity has always been and will always be the scandal of the cross and the empty tomb. That's where it all starts. The empty tomb. And if your heart is empty, if you are on the search, and if you are struggling to find out what this life is really about, you're doing that because there's something in you, placed in you by God Himself. He has set eternity in your heart. And you're trying to figure out why you are so dissatisfied with this temporary life and all the stuff that you can buy and all the stuff you can get to try to fill it up. Only an empty tomb can fill the empty heart. Listen to what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But then Paul says Christ has indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You see, only the empty grave fills the empty heart. At the end of a sermon, you always want to have a good conclusion. You want it to drive home and you want it to be powerful. And so here's my confession. I don't have a good conclusion. But I'm going to leave with you a great challenge. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk, but you just got to know that Jesus Christ came to die for you, was raised to life for you. My challenge to you today is to trust in Him. And you just be honest with yourself. Has all your effort, has all your stuff, has any of that filled your empty heart? There's got to be something more to this. His name is Jesus Christ. And today, I'm going to ask you to trust in Him. Some of the rest of you, you've trusted in Christ, but you need to rededicate yourself to Him. And today's the day you need to come back home. You need to realize that this life that you've been living far away from God will not satisfy. It's only God who can satisfy your heart. And you knew that at one time, but something happened. I don't know what it was. But you're far from God, and you got to come home. Father, be with us now as we pray. You're the only one who can bring a person to yourself. You're the only one, Father, who can cause a person to see the reality of what your Son did on that cross, and the only one who can cause them to feel the power of the resurrection within their heart. So do your work. If you'd like to trust in Christ, I just ask you to pray with me. Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that there is nothing I can do to be good enough for you, the living God. And yet, Father, in my heart, there's this void. There's this emptiness. And I desire to have it filled by you. Please forgive my sins. Please make me the new creature that you promise in your word. Father, I am sorry for the past, but from this day forward, I want to walk in the newness of life. I trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only one who paid the penalty for my sin and the only one who can place me in an eternal relationship with you, the living God. That's my prayer, and that's my desire, and that's my commitment before you, my Heavenly Father. For those of you who have strayed, you can pray with me. Father, there was a day when I trusted in Jesus. I know what it means to have a relationship with you. But I've strayed far away. And today, I want to come home. I'm tired of trying to fill my heart with all the stuff around me. It's been a mess. But today, I'm coming home. And my desire is to live a life that pleases you. My desire is to follow hard after you. I know I can't do that on my own because I tried once and it didn't work. But through your power and through your strength, I'm returning home. Father, I pray you would honor those prayers, that you would do your work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. I thank you, Father, for what you have done for all of us through your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. But first, a brief look at his motivating book, Ignite. There, Ron leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a look at our next broadcast.
Today we start a series of sermons that we've titled, Following the Leader. We're going to focus our attention on Jesus Christ. And we're going to follow our leader as he goes into Jerusalem that last time, knowing full well that the enemy would turn on him with full force. And in his unreserved resolve, we will see the finest hour of Jesus Christ. And once we see the journey of Jesus, we want to consider what it will take for us to follow him with that same determination, with that same resolve.
hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.